Come on in, one and all. We're going to have a little fun tonight. One of the things that I enjoy doing, a service that I, as your patron professor, provide for all of you, is I read far-left websites and news outlets so that you don't have to. That's a service that comes free of charge from yours truly. So if you want to show your appreciation, just smack that bell and subscribe button. We'd love to have you as a regular part of our community here. But the latest leftist rant that I came across comes by way of our old friends over at Salon.com and a piece entitled Trump's Takeover Depends on Creating This Alternate Reality. And the byline reads, how Trump appears to be a master of the impossible. It's by one of their regulars, an ultra woke, well, frankly, lunatic by the name of Chauncey DeVega. DeVega is about as out there as you can get, as I think you'll see. And his latest piece I thought was extremely revealing about where the far left is right now, both in terms of their cope and in terms of their self-imposed exile from reality. They're exile from the 80% of the nation, as we like to call it here on this channel. And again, I think this piece demonstrates that perfectly. And I thought we'd have a little fun reading it together this evening. So grab a nice adult beverage, sit back, and let's have some fun. So here's how the piece starts. Donald Trump has only been president for 8 weeks, yet it feels much longer. Time distortion is a common response to the type of extreme stress and anxiety that he and his administration's policies are causing the American people. I just got to stop you right there. I mean, stop. This is exactly what I'm talking about. The self-imposed exile from reality among leftists. The CBS poll taken just after Trump's address to the nation a couple of weeks back found that nearly 80% of those American people he just referred to approved of the speech. 8 in 10. Who's he talking about? The same CBS poll found that 77% support Trump's plan to cut government waste and spending. 77% back his immigration and border policies. 76% approve of the speech. 76% approve of removing congressmen who interrupt a speech. 74% say his speech was presidential. 73% support his stance on Russia and Ukraine. 68% said it made them feel hopeful and proud. 68% said he had a clear plan to tackle inflation. 68% said he accurately described America's crime crisis, and 63% said he focused on issues that they care about. And just in case you thought that that was primarily the MAGA faithful watching that speech, that same CBS poll that came up with those exact numbers found that just 51% of viewers identified as Republicans, suggesting that Trump's message clearly resonates far beyond his partisan base. You see, the irony here is that it's the lunatic left that live in an alternative reality, objectively speaking, as we can see here. But anyway, we're just starting here. Let's move on. He went on to say, and I quote, during these first 2 months, many Americans have found themselves saying some version of the following. Are you kidding me? What the F? Can he do that? What about the law? Why don't the Democrats fight back? Will I get my Social Security check? Why is this happening? And of course, I'm so exhausted. Please make it stop. Now again, the irony here is that the only people who are talking like this are the ones that this Salon.com author parties with, right? Isn't that what Bill Maher said to Don Lemon? The only people who like Ocasio-Cortez are the people you party with. Most everyone can't stand her. This is the 20%. This is what the 20% are saying amongst themselves. And since they've cut themselves off from the 80%, they can't conceive of reality apart from these frames of reference. This is part of what we often refer to on this channel as the 80-20 doom loop. The Democrats and the far left have planted their flag firmly on issues that only 20% of the most extreme voters support. They side with illegal migrants over and against citizens. They side with bureaucrats over and against taxpayers. They side with trans athletes over and against women. They side with DEI over and against merit. They're a cult of the 20%, but they only hang out with fellow members of that 20%. So they project that radical fringe view onto the whole of reality, thinking that their views, their fringe views, are mainstream, when in point of fact, most see it as lunacy. So he goes on. Many public voices, especially those who are committed to American democracy and the American project. In other words, those committed to judicial tyrants and domestic terrorists, since those are the only two things Democrats have going for them right now. Just check out my earlier video today. We talk about that extensively. Feel the same way. At The Guardian, Arwa Madawi writes, quote, Trump has only been president for a couple of weeks and things are already far worse than I imagined they could be. Almost nobody in the United States has escaped the chaos that Trump and Musk have already unleashed in such an incredibly short time. And again, I present to you, ladies and gentlemen, once again, the 80-20 doom loop. The inability to conceive of reality and think outside these fringe frames of reference. And then he goes on to cite a litany of what he claims the vast majority of commentators and establishment voices that he listens to thought were absolutely impossible. They thought there was no way Trump could ever do this, and yet he is. He is accomplishing what they thought was beyond the realm of possibility. So he brings up DOGE cutting hundreds of billions of dollars of waste, fraud, and abuse, which he excoriates and laments, this guy at Salon. He excoriates it and laments because he claims that it's circumventing Congress. How dare you do that? How dare you find all that waste, fraud, and abuse? You circumvented Congress and took over Congress's power over the budget. Again, he's dismissing, of course, the executive power that Trump has at his disposal. This guy is siding with bureaucrats over taxpayers. It's stunning. Who do you think is going to win that argument? He goes on to whine about Trump abolishing birthright citizenship. He laments Trump's mass unprecedented deportation program. He laments that. He laments that Trump has purged what he comically refers to as independent, nonpartisan inspector generals. That's what he calls them. Independent, nonpartisan inspector generals. Chauncey, they're not independent. They're bureaucrats. They're left-wing activists disguised as independent nonpartisans. Let's be honest. We're not getting any younger. And if you want to look and feel your best, you need to check out Pure Health Research. They have 45 premium health supplements designed to help with your every health goal, whether it's boosting your energy or trimming belly fat or supporting healthy blood sugar or pumping your testosterone up or even reducing swelling in your legs. Pure Health Research Supplement Store has you covered. Each formula is crafted with natural, non-GMO ingredients backed by clinical research and manufactured right here in the good old USA. And here's the best part. Pure Health Research is offering you an exclusive 35% discount. All you have to do is go to purehealthresearch.com and then use coupon code TURLEY at checkout. with their 365-day money-back guarantee. There is zero risk in trying something new. So why wait? Head on over to purehealthresearch.com right now, explore their 45 amazing supplements, and save 35% off before this deal ends with coupon code TURLEY. Don't miss this chance to feel your best. And Chauncey, the plural is inspectors general, not inspector generals. They're not part of the military. But then again, what are facts for those infected with the woke mind virus? And then he, of course, the real thing he's really upset about. Oh, the Trump administration is refusing to abide by these court's decisions. The Trump administration is refusing to comply with these rulings from these impartial judges. Now, we've talked about this on a number of videos. It's strange that actually leftists get this more than those of us who are on the right, or just simply the common sense coalition, the new common sense consensus. Trump and the Trump administration are largely ignoring these judicial rulings until the Supreme Court weighs in on this later this summer in June or July. It's driving the left insane. They get it. They see it. They see Trump is just laughing at these judges because judicial tyranny is the only thing they have to try to stop Trump. And of course, it's not going to work because the Supreme Court is most likely going to reverse all of these rulings by these activist judges. And then he gets into how every single one of Trump's cabinet appointees were approved with little to no resistance from Republicans in Congress. Apparently, that's supposed to be a bad thing. And then he laments Trump's supposed bromance with Vladimir Putin, again, even though the vast majority of the country actually approves of and supports Trump's handling of the Ukraine situation, far more than Biden, who almost got us into World War III by approving attack and missiles be sent into the heart of Russia. He goes on to freak out over Trump's plans on annexing Greenland. And he even claimed that Trump is going to try to annex Canada by military force. He thinks Trump is going to try to annex Canada by military. So we're going to invade Canada, guys. He's freaking out over Trump. He thinks is militarily going to expel the Palestinians out of Gaza and then turn Gaza into a resort area. I mean, the guy, what's so interesting when you read this is, and this is a pattern among leftists, that he moves back and forth from denouncing reality, denouncing the 80%. How dare you, pulling off a Greta? How dare you, right? He moves from denouncing the 80% to then denouncing fabrications of reality that have not happened and most likely will not. I noticed that was the campaign in a nutshell, if you think it through. The Democrats were trying to convince a majority of voters of the dangers of what Trump might do, of what Trump could do, of what he would possibly do versus the devastation that the Democrats had already objectively wrought upon our nation. And it was an impossible sell, as it turns out. The Democrats tried to convince us that voting for Trump could or would be an assault on democracy, while voting for the Democrats would be an approval of the devastation that they had already objectively inflicted on the nation. High interest rates, open borders, violent crime through the roof. So we seem to have identified what appears to be a bit of a pattern among the lunatic left raging against reality, raging against the 80%, and then turning around and raging against their own falsified fabrications of reality, right? So it's Kamala only lost because of sexism, misogyny. So I hate you. I hate you, the 80%, the railing against reality. I hate you. I hate you. And I hate you even more because you're a bunch of sexist and misogynist and racist. So it's this strange pivot from railing against reality to railing against their own fabricated interpretations of reality. But the irony in all of this is that it's this guy, DeVega, who actually believes, I kid you not, he actually believes that it's Trump who's pushing a false reality. What he calls a malignant normality, citing a Yale prof here. And he does that a lot. He loves to cite these studies and, well, this university professor, this scholar of fascism tells us XYZ. It's Trump, not Salon.com. It's Trump, not this writer who doesn't even know what a woman is. It's Trump who's emotionally training and conditioning the American people to accept a false reality by challenging, if not breaking, their expectations of what's normal and acceptable in their social lives. The result, this is what he writes. The result is a great amount of collective fear, anxiety, and disorientation as these expectations of what's normal are repeatedly shattered, a type of collective exhaustion and a state of learned helplessness sets in. And by doing that, he believes, by doing that, the vast majority of Americans will just end up giving up and capitulating to Trump. They will embrace, the vast majority of Americans will embrace this new fascist takeover and authoritarianism so as to resolve their own cognitive dissonance between what they believe reality is versus what reality has now become under Trump. See, I told you guys, I read this so you don't have to. Now, what's so fascinating when you read leftists like this is first and foremost just how utterly and hysterically defeated they sound. I mean, just the very concepts that they come up with to try to cope, to try to talk themselves off the ledge, those concepts come across as so forced. Just so out of the ordinary and mainstream, again, so outside of common sense. And they don't even see the bizarre loop they're in, the incessant confirmation bias they've trapped themselves in. I told you, he loves to cite all these professors. And he doesn't even stop to think about how radical professors and universities have become over the last 30 years. He doesn't even entertain that. That thought doesn't even seem to appear within his hermeneutic horizon, as we call it. It's long been recognized, even by university faculty, that the ratio between liberal versus conservative or Democrat versus Republican professors is radically disproportionately skewed in favor of liberal Democrats. Radically so. I mean, we're talking some universities, we're talking 28 leftists to every one rightist, 28 libs for every one conservative prof. And that gap widens every year. And so I've noticed this repeatedly among, you know, when I'm reading these left-wing sites, they never once stop to even consider, hey, wait a minute, you know, when I cite a university prof to back up my liberal left-wing partisan assertion here, chances are I'm not citing an objective source. I'm citing a fellow leftist. I'm citing someone who is suffering from TDS, right? Both Trump derangement syndrome and Tesla derangement syndrome. There's all kinds of studies here on this, gang. I mean, it's hilarious. This is not even controverted in the academy, ironically. Again, I'm not saying I'm from the university. I spent 20 years in the university. I mean, you can find honest studies, but just citing prof after prof after prof doesn't even seem to consider how radically left-wing skewed their perspectives are and how that skewing has in turn compromised and contaminated their supposed scholarship. We've got all these studies on that. I remember there was one, it was technically it's a mock study where they put forward a mock paper, well, two mock papers. And they gave it to like 100 different university professors. And one, but we should probably even just do a video on this. This will be a fun one to just kind of do a deep dive in because you'll love it. You can use it as an example when you're talking to your leftist friends, and hopefully you have some. It's important to, you know, make, remember, relationships are more important than being right when all is said and done in our personal family relationships and like, regardless. So there was this one experiment. You'll love this. It was like, there were two papers. One paper argued that left-wing, and it was there, this was for peer review. It was going to be published in a journal. It never was, but actually the results of this mock study were. But so one paper argued that left-wing activists on college campuses had an above average IQ. And the other paper made the argument that left-wing activists on college campuses had a below average IQ. And so then they sent these two papers to these professors for peer review. So like 50% of the professors got one paper that said leftists had a high IQ. 50% of the professors got another paper that said leftists had a low IQ. Now, they both used the same sources. They both used the same argumentative structure and the like. So they were literally identical papers. Just the differences was in the conclusions. Do you want to take a guess which paper passed the peer review with flying colors, glowing reviews, and which one consistently got rejected? I mean, it was so blatantly obvious. It was so blatantly obvious. I mean, all these professors were like, oh, absolutely. You know, the paper that said that the students had an above average IQ. Oh, absolutely. This was so well argued. Yes, yeah, this is good. You could definitely publish that. The one saying they had a below average IQ. What was it, Micah, that prof says, that Seder guy? That's problematic. Is that what he said? I think this paper is problematic. They were basically argued identically with identical sources, identical citations. All that said, I'll give this guy over at Salon.com this. He recognizes that the mass resistance that he had hoped would rise up against Trump and the MAGA movement has collapsed. This is coming from a leftist. He recognizes that the resistance is just not there. He does not believe the left, the Democrats have a bench. He doesn't believe they got a strategy. He doesn't believe they even have the stamina to take on this Trumpian juggernaut that is taking over DC every hour of every day. He thinks Trump is going to go for a third term. He thinks Trump is going to run again in 2028, and he ain't alone. Democrats are now more and more beginning to say, you know what? I think there's nothing we can do to stop him. Politico just had a piece out today as we speak into how Trump could snatch a third term despite the 22nd Amendment. And they list out four ways Trump could actually pull off a third term. First, he could generate a movement to repeal the 22nd Amendment directly. Secondly, he could exploit a little notice loophole in the amendment that might allow him to run for vice president and then immediately ascend back to the presidency. Third, he could run for president again on the bet that a compliant Supreme Court won't stop him. And then fourth, he could simply refuse to leave and put a formal end to America's democratic experiment. It's just so hilarious. It's all just part of this leftist hyperventilating and admitting and coming to terms with that they've lost. They've lost everywhere they look for a hope. Even among these judges, these activist judges, it just dissipates into thin air. Because they see just Trump smiling and going, you and what army is going to enforce this? I ain't listening to you. They're coming to terms, hence why they're burning Teslas when all is said and done. Hence why they're turning to domestic terrorism, as I've heard it put. Isn't that great? Not domestic terrorism, domestic terrorism. They've lost in every way imaginable. And they have no way of being able to cope with that. And in the end, what really has them disillusioned, I would argue, as a matter of fact, I think that I got this from Orrin McIntyre to give credit where credit is due. I believe that they're ultimately freaking out over the fact that they are witnessing, probably for the first time in most of their lives, they're witnessing a real constitutional presidency. Yeah, that, I think that was Orrin McIntyre who said that. That, I think, is what is ultimately flipping them out. For the first time in most of their lives, and most of all of our lives, we are watching a man walk into the Oval Office and exercise his constitutionally given executive authority without the unconstitutional restraints of unelected bureaucrats impeding his power. That is what they are flipping out over. They are seeing the way our nation has been radically transformed in a matter of weeks, and then realizing that this is exactly what our country is capable of doing constitutionally. When we actually have someone with the cojones to dismantle the administrative and deep state, when we tell activist judges to shove it, and when the president's party in power begins to enact his vision through legislation to make his executive orders permanent, this is exactly how the United States of America is constitutionally supposed to be governed, and it is glorious. It's glorious for patriots. It's glorious for the 80%, and it is glory. It is a wonder for the world to behold. I've been told that by those outside the country. But for the 20%, this is a disaster. Their world, their woke world, is being torn to shreds irreparably right before their very eyes. Everything they've worked to build is being dismantled, and there's literally nothing they can do about it. The one thing I will agree with Salon.com on, Trump truly is a master of the impossible. By the way, click on the link in the description below to get all these articles and tweets I reference throughout my videos emailed to you each and every day. You're going to love it. We want you to have the best resources out there to convince your family and your friends of this new MAGA super age that's rising here.